Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After a wild weekend, Red Sox Nation. Breaking news just moments ago, the Red Sox releasing a statement. The Red Sox have mutually agreed to part ways with manager Alex Cora. The Red Sox host their annual winter weekend and begin to move forward without Alex Cora.
We would ask that everyone reserve judgment until MLB completes this investigation and determines whether rules were violated.
This is Mott, Merlone, and Bradford.
The Red Sox have won the championship.
Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend. Red Sox Winter Weekend at the MGM Springfield.
Did not adjust your radio. Yep, you heard it. Mutt and Merlone are back. We are back, baby. Alongside Rob Bradford, Mass Mutual Center, MGM Springfield, Red Sox Winter Weekend. Boys, how are you?
I'm doing good. Took me a while to get here. It's like a maze. But well, then all these people out here, it's outstanding.
Look for all the money's being spent. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
If you go to college here, you know your way around.
I don't
know.
Oh, Rob's a hero. Yeah, it's his backyard.
This is my spot.
There's a lot going on, though. It's outstanding. I was the one last year, too. People everywhere enjoying it, getting ready. It's fun.
It's a baseball amusement park. Yeah. There it is. People wait in line. Instead of a ride, they're getting autographs. I mean, I will say this. A little crazy. It's a 40-minute wait to get Dave O'Brien's autograph. Okay? I can get it for you for free any night of the week. So we wait for line and talk to Dave O'Brien. We love
40
him.
Minutes?
40 minutes. He's still talking to people over there.
Holy Jesus.
The president of the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, is sitting down with us. Sam, happy winter weekend. How are you?
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year. Thanks for coming out here to the 413. Everybody appreciates it.
Look at you and your area code.
Look at you. I like it.
Is baseball amusement park a fair description of what goes on here with Winter Weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. It's unbelievable how many people are here. We're appreciative of it. Obviously, first year in Western Mass. So we're blessed with a great fan base all over the six New England states. We've never done something like this out in the western part of the state, and the reception has been incredible. Last night, Town Hall was great, and just a ton of fans from all over the place, and really excited to turn the page on what was a very difficult week and start to look forward to 2020 because it's, you know, there's a lot going on, but we've got a lot of work to do in front of us. But it's good medicine to have fans here, and they're just so supportive, and we really, really do appreciate it.
Well, somebody does a talk show every night. You know, we've talked about baseball all week, and I don't think it's necessarily been good. I think it's been a bad week for baseball, and your team's been a part of that. And we broke the news Tuesday night when the Alex news came down, and we had the press conference the next day. And the question I had and a lot of people have as we pick through this week, Sam, you made a comment about Alex Cora is no longer your manager, you know, no longer being able to lead the team and the organization. I was just curious, you know, why, from your standpoint, what, because you love the guy, you said he was exceptional, a great man. So what changed in your mind, the owner's minds, and in Alex's mind, where he went from a great man to can't lead the baseball team after meeting with him on Tuesday afternoon?
Well, let me be clear. Nothing's changed about our feelings about Alex personally in terms of the type of guy he is, type of baseball person he is, type of family person he is. But what changed was we had a chance to review Major League Baseball's ruling, the report that came out on Monday afternoon. And when you study that report and you read it carefully, you recognize what happened in Houston and what went on. And we knew from management's perspective that it would be difficult for Alex to lead given this distraction that this has caused. And Alex recognized that as well, came in on Tuesday through a series of meetings and made it very, very clear that he was not comfortable leading the organization going forward given what had happened in Houston in 2017. So we came to the collective decision that it was in the best interest of the Red Sox to move on, as difficult as that was. It's been really a painful week and a difficult week for many people, especially the players and the coaching staff. But we have a job to do, and we're going to move forward. We're going to move on from this, and we'll put one foot in front of the other. We're now engaged in a managerial search, which is difficult timing, but we'll do it, and we'll be ready to go when we get down to spring training.
Is there any timetable at all in when you think this whole thing could be resolved? I think
60-some-odd days for the Astros. I mean, has MLB told you any of that stuff, kept you informed of any of that?
Yeah, no, we don't have a sense of the timetable. Major League Baseball, we are, as we said at the press conference, we are fully cooperating. They need to do a thorough, exhaustive examination of what happened or what didn't happen, and they'll do a good job of that, as they did in the Houston situation. And then we'll deal with the results of it when that comes out, and we'll be supportive and cooperative and look forward to getting it behind us. But the answer to your question is I don't know the timetable or how it's going to play out over the next couple of weeks.
I would go back to that press conference, and the one thing I would ask you is that when talk about, I think it was withhold judgment, you know, let's wait until this report comes out. Yet, when you're asked if you had beaten the Dodgers fair and square, you said absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
So I would sit there and say, well, how can you say that if I'm supposed to withhold judgment because I don't know what the report says? Are you sure? You sounded pretty sure.
Pretty sure that you beat the Dodgers.
That you beat
them
clean. My thing would be, how do you know?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what the investigation says.
Well, because I was asked the question, and I responded with what I feel in my heart.
Okay.
And that's how I feel. So, you know, we'll see. Look, I'm not going to get into the details of those allegations that were in the article that are now being investigated. You're going to have to see exactly what happened. But I was asked a question, did we beat the Los Angeles Dodgers fair and square in the World Series to cap off a historic season? Absolutely,
yes. You see, I heard that response, and my first thought was they don't think they did anything.
Yeah.
Because they
think the Dodgers did something, too.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like the whole thing, you know, just listening to it, to be real, it was sort of like, okay, what am I listening to? It doesn't make sense. And then you start thinking about it later on that night, the next day, and with the whole judgment, you know, they're very definitive. Yes, they did it. I started thinking, they don't think they got anything. They don't think there's anything there. They don't think they did anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the way I said what I said, and I stand by it, and I believe it. But again, we're also going to follow the Major League Baseball's directive to not discuss the investigation that they're engaged in. But I can absolutely answer that question, and I answered it on Wednesday, and I'll answer it again, and that's the way I feel, and we'll go forward from there.
The timing of the managerial search obviously is unbelievably imperfect. Put that on the T-shirts.
Yeah.
But here's another problem I would imagine you're going to face, which is say that you lock in on somebody or maybe a group of finalists. Well, then you have to vet them through Major League Baseball. The way that it is in Major League Baseball right now, everyone is under suspicion. So say you lock in on somebody, all of a sudden, do you have to now go to Major League Baseball and say, all right, is there anything that you guys think that he has done at any point in his career?
You know, I think you have difficulties when you hire anybody for any position in terms of do you know absolutely everything that's happened in their past? The honest answer to that is no, you don't. So, look, I'm not concerned, frankly, about that. What I'm concerned about is getting someone that Chaim Bloom and Brian O'Halloran and our baseball ops staff and our coaching staff and the players feel really strongly about it, and a leader that can hopefully put this club in a position to be very competitive in the American League East in 2020, get into October baseball, and have a chance to win another World Series championship. We're better than an 84-win team, and we had a disappointing year last year for a variety of reasons, but I think we've got a team built to compete in the American League East. Yes, it will be harder. Competition's gotten better. But I think we're going to be able to compete in 2020, and I think we're going to be able to compete in 21 and 22 and 23. We're investing heavily into our baseball operation. This is my 19th year with the Boston Red Sox. We have an ownership group in John Henry and Tom Werner that are hungry for a fifth World Series championship, and that commitment will always be there.
There's no doubt. Listen, when people talk about cutting payroll, you're still going to end up with a payroll over $200 million. But the whole thing, going back to John's comments in late September in the suite up there about the CBT, and immediately it's a goal, not a mandate. And then now the whole media-driven, this is a media-driven thing, which is, for me is hard because by the actions of the team so far and the inactivity and all that, and also, by the way, by the definitive statement that John made, none of that, anybody, forget about the media, anybody would go down the road of saying, that is their approach. And I get it, five-year plan and everything else. It's okay if this is part of the five-year plan. So what's your thoughts about this whole idea, and I guess it came up again last night, about the media-driven CBT conversation?
Yeah, John and Tom said it last night again. It's a media-driven thing. And the quote again from John, to your point, was, everyone knows the last year we've had to get below that CBT, and it seems like now he's putting that on guys like us on the air, pointing back to that quote.
Well, look, the CBT represents one guidepost, if you will, as you're constructing your budget. You look at the baseball penalties associated with it. You look at the financial penalties associated with it. In my 19 years here, we've been under the CBT probably half the time. We've been over the CBT half the time. I don't like to talk about finances or CBT, and I don't like to send a signal to other clubs. So we'll just leave it at that, and you know, we'll see. Tom was very clear that it was a goal. And, yeah, would you rather build a baseball team and spend less money in doing it and reserve dollars for later years? You know, yeah, of course, because then you have more resources to continue to spend. But in our sport, we don't have a salary cap. We don't have a hard fixed number each and every year like they do in football or hockey. Basketball slides a little bit, obviously. But we try to spend less time talking about money and finances and making sure that we're investing in scouting, player development, major league free agency, homegrown guys, international signings. We have incredible resources. And the reason why we have incredible resources is because the fans support us at the gate. They support us with concessions. They support us on radio. They support WEEI. They support NESN. And we never take that for granted. So we'll see. We've got a condensed managerial search, and the trade market kind of slowed down after a lot of those big free agent signings. We'll see what the next couple of weeks bring as we look to put the finishing touches on constructing what the 2020 team is going to look like. But the goal is clear. The goal is to compete in the American League East. The goal is to try and win a World Series and be competitive each and every year. Sometimes you do take a step backwards, either by action or by inaction, and we'll see what 2020 brings.
See, to me, that whole thing, when John Henry said that in September, I know what he said to Shaughnessy the other day, is sometimes I'm too honest in live settings, and I think that is it. Because if the goal is to get under 208 and you need to shed 25 to 30 million, the last thing you want to do is tell the world that you have to. Because if I have to shed that, I don't need to give you any prospects. I don't need to give you anything in a deal. Like, you know, it kills your leverage. So now it does. It sort of seems like it's trying to control it a little bit, like a little bit of, oh, no, we're willing to do it to try to get some leverage back.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I'm not going to opine.
See, I'm sneaky like that, right?
Yeah,
right? Sneaky.
Look, I understand the question. I'm just not going to opine on what we may or may not do in the next couple weeks. We're going to continue to honor the commitment to try and put the best possible product out there for the short term and the long term. And that's always, again, 19 years here, that's the push and pull.
So,
short term, long term, it's really hard to do both. We have successfully done that in this era of the John Henry, Tom Warner ownership of the Boston Red Sox. As a kid who grew up here, going to games at Fenway Park my entire life, being blessed to be from here, this has been the most incredible era in Boston Red Sox baseball. Thanks to this ownership group, thanks to them saving Fenway Park, thanks to them investing in baseball operations through the draft, through international, through free agency, what they've done to give back to the community. It has been, obviously I'm biased, and it's my job. I work for the organization. But let's look at what's happened in 20 years of the Boston Red Sox since these two guys have owned and operated the team. And I think anyone would sign up for that era. And you know what? We're hungry for a fifth championship and a sixth championship and a seventh championship. So we're going to keep going. And it's been a difficult week, but the commitment is there and it will always be there. These are competitive owners. They want to win, and it's a privilege to be a part of this organization.
Do you a question of, I guess, a broader question in this city. Do you feel like your team has a perception problem? Just PR-wise.
I think it's hard. That's for others to judge, right? Because what we're guided by is doing what we think each and every day is in the best interest of the Boston Red Sox. Sometimes we make wildly popular decisions. Sometimes we make wildly unpopular decisions. And you know what? That's because we're in the best baseball market in the country that people have positive reactions or negative reactions. We can't control that. I had an exchange with Brad Stevens, who I'm a big fan of, and he reminded me that, you know, in times like these and in leadership and in management, you got to control what you can control. And we're focused on what we can control. We're going to try and make the best decisions possible for the Red Sox. Have we made bad decisions in our 20 years here, if that's the question? Because you're talking about perception and PR. Yeah. That's for others to judge. We've made mistakes. Absolutely. I make mistakes every single day. But have we made mistakes in our 20 years here, nearly 20 years here? Of course. Of course. But have we made some good decisions? Yeah, I think we have.
Well, to that end, you mentioned last night it was a town hall forum or a sit-down, Sam. Ticket sales are down from where they were a year ago. What do you attribute that to? Is it the likability thing Lou's talking about? Is it the bad year last year? What do you think has been the major factor? Talk to fans here at this event.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of a lot of different things. Usually you have a lag effect on ticket sales, either in a negative way or a positive way. So coming out of a World Series championship year, you're typically going to get a spike. Interestingly, one of the years where the ticket sales were down for most of the year was 2013, a year where we won the World Series, and that was following a very difficult 2012 campaign.
Yeah.
And we sold at the deadline, made that Dodge, now famous Dodgers deal. So 2013, it took a while for the market to really get behind this team, but obviously, you want ticket sales to be up every year, but the reality is, given we've been at this so long, we understand that we have to earn the fans' trust, their respect, and we need to be credible, and they need to get on board with the team once they feel that it's time to get on board. And we think our fans will get on. We know our fans will get on board as long as we're doing the right things on the field.
You say trust, and this is a bigger picture, but I think fans have a real lack of trust in the sport right now. This week has been insane. You have players airing out other players. You had three players go to Drellick and Rosenthal about your team. What do you tell fans who are wondering now, is the game on the up and up? Because this week has been a very good test, I think, of how much people really love baseball and trust the sport.
Yeah, I agree with you. This has been a really challenging and difficult week for baseball. Again, back to controlling what we can control, we're going to focus on our actions, our activity as we go forward, and focus and worry about the Boston Red Sox. Look, Major League Baseball did a good job with their policing of the Houston Astros, the investigation. They did what they needed to do. They're going to do what they need to do with us. We're going to fully cooperate, and we'll see where it takes us.
So you talk about moving forward, and a part of that moving forward is what we talked about before, the managerial search. It's not only you looking for a manager, you have two other teams. And in the last couple of days since the press conference, I would imagine you've been able to kind of sink your teeth into that a little bit more. Do you feel the push and pull of these other two teams looking for a manager too? And I know you said you don't have a timeline or anything along those lines, but in these couple days that you've sort of started really in deep with that managerial search, what has been the feeling?
So the feeling has been an examination of the qualities that we're looking for. Chaim and BOH and Raquel and Eddie and Zach have spent a lot of time the last three or four days talking about what is it exactly that we're looking for at this moment in time. Is it
which, by the way, it might be different than what you were looking for when Alex Cora was
out,
right?
Right? Yeah, I mean, look, we're recognizing where we are. This is highly unusual. I mean, I think John Henry said at the press conference, you know, it's not ideal to be looking for a manager at this time of year. So we have to take that into consideration. Can you conduct the typical exhaustive managerial search process at this time of year? Probably not, because you want to have someone in place as we get down to spring training and get going. So do you look for an interim solution? Do you look for a more permanent solution? We have to come to that conclusion very quickly, and we'll do that.
So last one for me about Mookie Betts. So last offseason, kind of all hell breaks loose, right, with some of the best players in the game, whether it's Mike Trout, Arenado, Harper, Machado. To me, the bar is set. To me, the comps are there. To me, I just look at it and say, okay, both sides should know what it, Have you guys sat down? I think the last time we heard it was like 8 and 200. That was like years and years and years ago. That was made public. Yeah. Have you sat down in the last year or two? Have you sat down this offseason and tried to work something out?
We're going to keep our conversations with Mookie and his agent. Between us and Mookie and his representatives. But look, Mookie Betts is an unbelievable baseball player, an unbelievable person. We've said it ad nauseum. This is a guy you'd like to have in that lineup and at Fenway Park. But it always takes two sides to make a deal. We haven't made a deal yet. Obviously, we did have a very smooth pre-arbitration process. Went very well. I think Mookie's happy. I think we're happy. So we'll see where 2020 takes us.
LeBron James Jr. over the hotel just now. I just ran into him.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's all you need to know. The whole thing is coming together.
Picking out his spot in the Hall of Fame or
some
his
high school
spot?
Basketball tournament that Rob's telling everybody about that he's playing in. I don't.
I'm not playing it. No, you, no.
No, but Bronny Jr. is playing it.
Bronny Jr. is across the street. That's big news. Forget about all this managerial and Mookie talk. I mean, that's
just stay off the court, will you?
Jump on the court, celebrate.
Sam, last one for me. You guys spent a lot of time Tuesday saying you couldn't talk about certain things in the investigation. Are you willing to commit that once the MLB comes forward, you guys will have another sit-down with either us or the media and talk about their report, whether it's positive or negative for the team? Because Jim Crane, I mean, he was pretty honest, man. He came out and said, look, we're doing these moves because it's about our team and organization respect. Will you guys sit back down once a report comes out and discuss with the media?
Of course, yeah. We've got an obligation to do that, and we'll deal with it as it comes our way, and we'll work through it. So, yeah, for sure, and again, this is a difficult period for the franchise and for the sport, and I want to thank our fans who are sticking with us and sticking with the sport because it's just Mutt's pointing out to the crowd. It's remarkable to see the support, and look, you've got two decades of doing this. We've had some, as you guys know, we've had some high highs here. We've had some low lows. It always seems to be that way in Boston. I mean, Lou, you've been a part of a lot of different teams, and we'll get through this. John Henry talked about it at the press conference. This group's a family. You got great men and women in this organization, and we'll stick together and get through this together.
Was this the biggest gut punch? You talk about all this, like the investment and success, and you're right.
Yeah.
But was that, to me, when I watched you guys up there, that seemed like the biggest gut punch you guys have had.
Yeah, if you know, for me, it's been a real challenging time, and I think that's probably because I've let my emotions get a little bit in the way, and the personal feelings that you have for teammates and people that you work with. And Alex was our leader, such a special 18 team, and what he did. Here as a player, remember he played for us 05, 08, and this is a guy that we called on and would go down to Dana-Farber at the drop of a hat, or, you know, Big Poppy oversleeps. You know, there comes Alex Cora to meet with a kid or a WEI advertiser or whatever it is. I mean, so great organizational guy. We recognize that we had to do what we both sides had to do what they had to do and move on. But it was hard, yeah. This has been really, really difficult. I said it at the press conference, you know, we don't rank crises around our organization. We've had ups and downs, but this has been really difficult. But we'll get through it. We'll get through it together.
Based on what you know, should you get a chance to manage again in Major League Baseball, Alex Cora?
You know, it's a good question. We'll see how things play out. I think we need to get through all of this. As you said, there's different things coming out. But I believe that people should be held accountable for their actions, for mistakes that they make. I believe people should be given forgiveness as well. I think people should, and how you handle mistakes that you make and taking accountability for them, I think it's the first step towards forgiveness, and I believe in forgiveness.
Can I just tell you, we just posted on WEI.com a text message from Mike Lowell that's saying that he would be willing to manage the team for a year if it meant bringing Alex Cora back the following year.
Wow.
So keep that in mind.
Wow, Mikey Lowell. Good to hear from Mike Lowell. Wow.
I don't think I'm a good fit for you, Sam.
You'd be bored. There'd be no microphone in front of your face.
Well, I think it might be some.
We could make that work.
There might be some trust issues
for us.
I don't know.
He's Sam Kennedy, president of the Red Sox, joining us here on the weekend. Sam, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Thank you.
It's Mutt Maloney and Bradford. We're live here at the Mass Mutual Center, MJ in Springfield here. Great crowd behind us here that are here to celebrate baseball in the Boston Red Sox. We have a lot of guests to get to. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, as you expect. We'll do it all.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.